I'm Greta, and I have got Anna Eggy on the line with me today. And I'm really excited to be talking with you, Anna. Thank you so much, and welcome to KHUM.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
And you are coming to the Old Steeple on Wednesday in Ferndale next week. And is this a venue you've played before?
I did play there once, right before the pandemic. It was one of the last shows I played, and I was on the road with Iris DeMent.
Oh, wow. This could be totally wrong. Were you just touring with Iris DeMent, like, recently as well?
Yeah, we just did some shows out in Oklahoma and Texas.
Okay.
Somehow we avoided the crazy storms that were swirling all around.
Good. Well, that's lucky.
Yeah. Intense out there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, and everywhere, right? I mean, I feel like we're in this little climate haven up here in Northern California, but, you know, it's kind of crazy everywhere. And so right now, are you, because your tour, I see, kicks off again on Saturday. So are you, like, back at home, a little break?
I am home with my family now. This is the fourth day in a row, and then I leave tomorrow morning for Seattle.
Oh, my gosh. And does your family get to go with you?
No. My wife she's a filmmaker, and she works here, and our daughter is in fourth grade, so she's still in school.
Oh my gosh! Well, so you have been making music your entire life. Now, not to give anything away, but we're roughly the same age, so I mean that's a long time. I mean, music has been your calling forever.
Yeah. Yes, it's true.
And your childhood, you kind of had a little bit of a hippie childhood, which I'm sure a lot of folks in Humboldt can relate to. And did that help you sort of follow your dreams of being a musician?
Yeah, my mom was very supportive she always wanted to play the guitar, and she was kind of made to play the piano. And so when I showed interest, she really backed me up on that. And you know, it was definitely like lots of pot smoking and lots of music making and kind of making homemade tofu and making sprouts and the whole community vibes. There were posters of the Grateful Dead and stuff, you know, on the walls. So there was this sense of a reverence for people with guitars. So, you know, I think I keyed into that. There's lots of music on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Who have been your biggest influences?
There's so many. That's really tricky, you know. But I was drawn to Willie Nelson pretty early on. He was my first concert when I was five at the North Dakota State Fair. And I mean, there's so many. Dolly Parton, too, early on. She briefly had a talk show. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
When I was in fifth grade.
Yeah.
I was just in awe of her. I didn't even know what to do. My mind was like, what? Who are you? And what is happening? Her voice, though, always just felt like, you know, crystal, like drinking clear, cold water. And I still feel that when I hear her sing.
Yeah. It's amazing her staying power, because she's still, like, that still is there. And I think that you have a very similar thing with your music. I mean, from your very early stuff, which I have to say, you know, I watched your documentary. There is a documentary about Anna Eggy called Bright Shadow. And I cried a couple times, and it's not particularly supposed to be a tearjerker, I don't think. But, you know, the fact that you, like, started out having, like, almost immediate success when you were, like, around 20, and you left it, you ran away from it. And kind of gave up. And that seems like that's happened to you a few times, but yet you've persevered, and your music, your songwriting, like, really resonates with me on a very human level, but, like, it has that staying power. And I mean, what has kind of helped you? Like, what are your tips and tricks, like, when you give up? Because you did, you gave up, you went home from Austin, but What has kept you going when you've kind of given up?
Well, you know, I think the giving up was on the business of it. You know, I didn't give up on writing and playing. It was the business and kind of the kind of siphoning, or this thing that I felt from different managers and labels and people wanting to me to be a certain type of thing in a certain way. And I've always been out. I've always been gay, and also, you know, connected spiritually, and my songs are my songs. And I was intimidated by, you know, all the attention early on too.
Mm-hmm.
And all the offers to, like I said, narrow myself. And I had to retreat to stay strong and who I really am. And then I toured from New Mexico overseas a bunch during that time, and made a record in London with a different producer. But, you know, back then it really, there wasn't space for kind of being a whole person who was also gay making folk and country music. It was very, very narrow, unless you were like doing the super, I'm making lesbian music, playing only women's festivals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't just only one of those things. Unless you were Katie Lang, you know, which of course she was always one of my guiding stars too.
Mm-hmm.
Because she kind of leapt through that to the next place, you know?
Yeah.
But here I am being me, and so I guess that's been my, and I've had incredible teachers kind of reaffirming that's, you know, okay to do this. Like Iris DeMent, from the beginning, I've known her since 97, mm-hmm. I think, you know, she told me once, she said, do you think anyone ever told Johnny Cash how to be Johnny Cash? You know, just because you're gay and you're a woman, don't listen to them.
Yeah.
You know? And so I've always had like these, and Lucinda Williams too, she's always been there for me and told me the hard truths about what it is to just be yourself in this industry. And so, yeah, so I just kept being that, kept doing that. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing looking back. I've made all these records and somehow kind of just made it work.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love it. I still love it so much. And it's so affirming and powerful to make music with other people and share in that experience live with a bunch of people who don't know each other, who all have different jobs and come from different places. You know, it's just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Do you think has it become easier as you've gotten older and as a parent to care less about what they tell you you're supposed to be?
Definitely. And at the same time, I care more about everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. I care less about like my needs in a way, and I'm okay with who I am, and I'm more okay with everybody else being who they are. And I don't feel it so much as a crunch on me. If people have their issues, I don't feel them so directly at me anymore. I feel them, oh, wow, that person has some issues. Do you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing. Have you, I mean, and your writing over the years has been pretty autobiographical, and, you know, and in the documentary, there's this point where you experience writer's block. And what I took from that is it comes from a place of being afraid of being truly honest about what mm-hmm. you need to say as an artist. And like, what I saw is that the moment you accept, like, I just need to write what I have to say, and the repercussions may not be great, but this is my art and this is my voice and this is what I have to put out there. And is that something that you experience still? I mean, or have you found it easier to be more honest in your songwriting, even though it has maybe caused some personal difficulties?
100,000%. All that is yes. You know, it is like, whoo, there's this, you know, I don't even know where to start with that, but to be able to write and be connected to more than I am, which anyone who sits down to write, if you start, there's something that happens where you realize you're kind of just, something more is happening than just, than moving the pencil. Mm-hmm. And the more you practice anything, the more effortless it becomes. And so if you're getting in the way of yourself and in the way of something coming through you by shutting down emotionally, you literally are shutting that off. You're cutting off the flow. So fear, that's a huge cutoff, you know? And that was, I think in that was about mental health stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That my sisters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I was terrified for them and I was so intimidated to write about, their mental health struggles. And it's so complicated because, you know, when you love and know someone so well before mental health issues arise, you know so many different aspects of them. And at one point I realized that I could write about the mental illness, like at that as a character, not the person I know and love who also experiences this illness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so much of the frustration and heartbreak of, around mental health to me, is that people are challenged to see the individual
mm-hmm.
through the illness. Whereas someone with cancer, you can see, oh, that's Peggy. She has cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's easy to differentiate. And sometimes with mental health, it's difficult for people to differentiate and know that it is an illness. It's just like a cancer. It's just something that they are struggling with and through. Anyhow, so yeah, that was a big shift for me, and it totally unlocked the writing.
Hmm.
I've been, yeah, I guess, and again, maybe it's so much about just practicing something over and over and getting less and less attached to this, not thinking of it as an extension of myself, the work I get to make. It's that I get to make it, I'm involved in creating it, and then when it's done, it's separate from me, and I either like it or I don't,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, if I don't like it, I don't share it, you know, but sometimes I write a song, and it's incredible to be like, oh my God, I love this, I cannot wait to play it, this song is so fun, you know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes songs are, oof, this is painful and intense, but I feel like I have to share it, you know?
Mm.
So yeah, writing is more and more and more open and accessible for me.
Well, and I think that, you know, you talk about that illness and how we see each other, but I think we also see ourselves kind of wrapped up in our own illnesses and situations, and hearing the honesty in your songwriting, I think is really healing. And, you know, I would hope that if I had written something that was public about the people that have hurt me, that I care about, that it would be healing for them, you know, and to bring things to light and to sort of try to work through them. So I think that, you know, as I listen to your music and the heavier songs, there is healing, I think, in there. And I mean, that's a tremendous thing that I think as a musician that you give to everyone, and to be able to experience that in a live situation is really powerful. I mean, to me, that's church. You know, if you're not in nature, if you're sitting yeah. in a room while someone is playing music and sharing it with you, like, that is true connection to spirit. And so I think mm-hmm. that you really deliver that beautifully through your music.
That, yes, being in the moment and connecting, you know, and being open, being,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think hard truths and the opposite of denial, but moving towards difficult things, if it is with the intention of care, at least, you know, and healing, then it has the opportunity to be positive, even if it's painful or hard to hear. And ultimately, it has been good that I wrote about those issues with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it was scary and it was hard initially, just like so many things I continue to write to and work through. But, you know, turning blind eye and being in denial or actively, you know, turning away from things has never ended up well for me.
I would say that should be the case for everyone, but it seems like if you are really wealthy and privileged that maybe you are able to get away with that.
maybe for a while, right? But then at the same time, what is the day to day like? You never know.
Yeah.
How at ease one is.
Yeah.
Or how much peace and, like, you know, gentle happiness they experience. You just never know.
Right. Well, and isn't that the whole meaning? I mean, you know, and you've just released this new album, Sharing in the Spirit, and is this album different in that way?
Well, it's very immediate in that the practice that has been going on lately for me is that I'm aware of music in my dreams, and I wake myself up and I hum into my phone. And then I write, and then I collaborate with those dream beginnings of songs. So that's where these songs came from.
Wow. That's so, like, rather like your journaling in the morning is humming into your recording.
No, it's like usually at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m, I have to wake myself up. Like, I become aware in my dream that I'm hearing music or that someone's singing in my dream. And then I mean, this has been a long process of me allowing myself to be lucid enough in a dream to realize that's what is happening. And then also to make myself wake up instead of be like, oh, dreams are so nice and sleeping is so good and I don't want to wake myself up. And so it's often in the middle of the night, and and the voice memos often sound like, you know, and then I get to decipher them. Sometimes they're super clear and it's practically a song already. You know, sometimes it's a melody that has a really cool rhythm, but that's where the seeds of these songs are directly from.
Oh, wow. Wow. That gives me a whole new feeling when I'm going to listen to this album, because that's new for you.
Yeah. There were a couple of songs that came from that on the last album, Between Us. And so that's what I mean. Like, I'm getting more and more out of the way, but I still definitely have to, you know, engage and collaborate with this stuff that's happening. And they're not disconnected from life. I mean, or from waking life rather, you know, they are all, it's all very real. It's not like it's, I mean, for a moment, sometimes I'm like, huh, what's this about? And I'm like, oh, I know what this is about, you know?
Yeah. Wow. What a powerful experience. That is very, very cool. Well, I hope that continues for you, because it sounds like a really interesting journey.
It feels like a real gift. Yeah. It's just, it's like a jump start towards new songs, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned just a few minutes ago that there are some songs that you are just really excited about as you write them. What is right now? I mean, I know this probably changes for you and you have such a massive catalog, but, like, right now, what is your favorite song that you've written to share with people?
Oh, that's so hard.
I know. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry.
Well, you know, I have to say a few, because I think about the song Mission Bells Moan a lot on the new record.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about We Are One, that was a single I put out, and Rock Me, Dreamer, and Dance Around the Room with Me. But I also really love Sharing in the Spirit, which is a crazy song. It is so crazy, and yet I really love it. There's something that is so, I don't know, like razor's edge about it. That is, sometimes I write songs and I just don't even know what is happening with them, you know? And that one seems like such a powerful, like, source kind of electrical conduit song.
Nice. Okay. Well, then I'm going to definitely play that one so that we can hear what you mean.
Well, it's very, you know, it's very much about, well, do you know the songwriter Anais Mitchell?
Mm-hmm.
So I was visiting her on her farm, on her dad's sheep farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I have you know, fast forward a year or so, I had this dream that I was back in that place on that visit. And it was wild. You know, it was like surreal, crazy, strange. But it's very supernatural. Like the song is very, very much about the natural world. And yet it's like all these openings. And, you know, I don't know if this listener gets that or not, but that's where it's coming from for me.
Well, and it's nice to hear that from you. I mean, because, you know, it's like we can listen to music and unless, you know, and we take what we do from what we hear. But if, like, to know a little bit about where the song comes from, it makes it, I don't know, gives it a deeper meaning. So I love that you shared that with us, because I am going to play that for us and see what we think. And I'm sure it'll be different too, playing it at the old steeple and being able to be in that amazing venue and getting to experience these songs with you right there in real time. I mean, that's pretty magical.